Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi folks, I'm Jelaine Fenner and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today with my co-host
Tom Majure.
And Tom, while we're recording this program, we are at the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists camp meeting in Cedar Lake, Michigan.
Oh, we love doing this. This is about the third year that we've done this, and the opportunity is we get to meet more people and put more people on the radio, and so we've got some special guests today.
Yes, and what's wonderful about being here, they're not on the phone. They're live sitting here with us.
Oh, that's a blessing.
And who we have is Dennis Page. He's an assistant pastor at the Village Seventh-day Adventist Church in Berrien Springs, Michigan. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And his wife, Melody, is with him.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. And we're going to hear their story, at least part of their story, maybe both of them. Together, singly, we'll see. So, Tom, before we get started, why don't you have a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Our Father in heaven, you have a purpose and a place for everyone. You have a purpose and place for our listeners. And we've heard stories here at camp meeting of our listeners who've come forward and found their place. And we're looking at another one of your miracle stories. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's right. Tom, your prayer made me think of, because this is a Strong Tower Radio Today program, but some of our programs about people with a purpose. And Dennis, that's what we've heard. You are a person that has a purpose.
Amen. You know, I believe everybody has a purpose, and God has given us all the unique testimony, and I look forward to sharing today.
That's right. Now, first off, how long have you two been married?
We've been married for a little over 13 years now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Melody, the more you talk, you have a little accent. Mm-hmm. Would you tell our listeners where you're from?
Yes. Okay. So my home country is the Philippines.
Okay. And though I heard kind of maybe you've been a world traveler, though. I heard you were in England.
Yes, I lived and worked there for a little while. Not long enough for me, but I love the country, and that's where I met my husband.
Okay. Okay. And so, starting off, how long have you been a Christian?
Well, not very long. As you know, according to my age, I haven't been a Christian very long. But
you did not grow up in a Christian home?
Not at all. Not at all. I grew up in a very dysfunctional, broken family. Did not know much about God at all, other than heard that one day he's going to show up and burn up the world. And you know, then you'd hear these things that if you didn't serve God, he'd burn you in hell forever. And, you know, so these just put in the back of my mind a God that I just did not want to know, was not interested in him. So that was the early beginnings of my childhood upbringing. And that would cause me to choose a path that would just lead me down a very sad, sad road in life.
Where did you grow up? What city, state, something?
Yes, I grew up in Buffalo, New York. We grew up in the ghetto. My family did. It was a very broken part of the city. We were very poor, and there was a lot of gang activity, a lot of fighting back in the late 60s, early 70s when I was a child there growing up. So faced a lot of challenges, not only in the home, but just wanting to go to school and not be involved in gang activity and find myself in the middle of a situation.
So you didn't get involved with gangs, even though they were all around?
I did a little bit, just out of the association with friends that were involved in those gangs. I was not initiated into a gang, but I hung out with a particular gang. These guys were my friends, and they even though we were different races, they still let me hang out with them. So we grew up together. So that was great.
You know, Jelaine, some of us have a idea that pastors come from this idyllic home situation, that everything was perfect, and we're about ready to hear an interesting story of what God has done.
That's right, because it is so true. A lot of people in this world are broken. I mean, I was not raised in a Christian home. You know, I did not come from that. And I was very worldly, living in the world. And so I'm sounding like hearing something similar in your background. Mm-hmm. But something changed, so you got to tell us what happened.
All right, well, let me just share a little bit more about my childhood. You know, a lot of mistakes I made when I was younger was based upon fear. Because I grew up, when I was young, my mother took me from my father. I've never known my father personally. I just know his name because I was given the same birth name as him. Changed our names. She remarried, changed our names again. And so I had this sense of rejection. And so that caused me, out of fear, to choose some of the wrong friends. And because of the fear of rejection, then I would also experience fearing not being able to, you know, I would go along with the crowd because I just didn't want to be left out. I don't want to be alone. And so that caused me to encounter a lot of problems at a young age. When I was a young teenager, I began to drink and use drugs. We moved from Buffalo, New York to a small, somewhat of a small town in the state of Indiana, where I'd get more involved in drugs and drinking and home invasions, started doing burglaries, and then I found myself being locked up at the age of 15.
Oh, my.
And so wasn't very pleasant. But, you know, it's like God was always looking out for me. And even though I made a lot of mistakes, like his mercy was there, even though I did not know who he was, mm-hmm. even though I had this warped picture in my mind of the character of God, he was always looking out for me. So when I got locked up at the age of 15, sorry about that. When I got locked up at the age of 15, I remember when I got out of jail, I promised my mom and dad I would never do that again.
And how long did that last?
Maybe a week. You know, maybe a week. Later, I would read a comment that stated that our promises are like ropes of sand. Mm-hmm. And that's how my promises were, because I just went right back into that lifestyle. It was interesting, though, at the age of 16, my stepdad always threatened to sign me up to military school, send me to military school. And one day, a Marine Corps recruiter came to school, and he started talking to all the juniors in high school. I had started school a year early, so I was going to graduate when I was 17. And I asked the Marine Corps recruiter what I could do to join the Marine Corps, like, right now. I mean, I wanted to get out of my home. There was a lot of fighting in my home. It was just broken. And he said to me, he said, if your parents sign a waiver, you can begin reserve meetings right now, and then as soon as you graduate, you can go off to boot camp. I thought to myself, great. I'm going to surprise my parents. So I went home, and I remember telling them, Mom, Dad, if somebody's coming over to talk with you tonight, you're going to be surprised. And shortly later, about 6:30 at night, knock at the door, open it up, Marine Corps recruiter, they're a little surprised. They were surprised. So he came on in, he explained to them the situation, and told them that if they were to sign right now the waiver, I could start my training with a Marine Corps Reserve base at a Marine Corps Reserve base not far away. And then as soon as I graduate, I could go off to basic training and then my MOS training.
So what year was that?
That was in 1980.
Okay.
And I can only imagine the joy that was in my stepdad's heart as he signed that paper.
And how'd your mom feel?
Yeah, she was happy about it too. You know, here's the deal. I was struggling with the challenge of the saying, don't do as I do, you do as I say. Mm-hmm. I would hear that my whole life from my parents. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, are they like these superheroes that can do the wrong things and never get in trouble, but when I do it, I get beat up for it? You know, what's up with that? You know, so it sowed a seed of rebellion in my mind, and I determined when I got older, I was never going to let anybody tell me what to do. No authority was ever going to tell me how to live my life.
And you went to the Marine Corps?
You went to the Marine Corps?
You know, that That worked for them for a little while. And then I finally told them I had enough of them, and they put me in active duty because I just got into it too much with my commanding officer.
You know, but, but that's so interesting because isn't that how we are? We want to do what we want to do. I mean, and God wants what's best for us, mm-hmm. but we don't want Him telling us what to do.
Yes. But it's only like that if you don't know God.
Yes.
When a person comes to know God, I'll share a little bit more about that as we go. When a person gets to know God, it's different in life. So I'm going to backtrack just a little bit because something happened when I was about 6 years old, 7 years old, that would plant a seed in my mind, not only about the character of God, but that affected, I think, how I would live my life. When my mother was getting ready to get remarried, when I was about 6, 7 years old, my sister and I, on that day of her wedding, my sister and I were at our grandmother's house. We were looking at a large Bible and had a picture of the Last Supper on the cover of it. It was, my grandmother was Catholic. And I remember looking through the pages and looking at the pictures. And as my mother was going out the door, she scoffed at us. And she said, God's going to show up in the year 2000 and destroy the world with fire. And I thought to myself, what? And I was always really good at math as a little kid, and I would sit down and I'd figure out year 2000, how old am I? How old would I be? And I would find myself, I'd be 37 years old. Okay. So that little seed went in the back of my mind that, you know, when I'm 37, God's going to show up and burn me up with fire. And so that just added to the rebellion that was being sown with the saying, don't do as I say, do as I don't do as I do, but do as I say. And so that just added to it.
He also shared with me that at that time when that was said to him, that the thought came to him, he must get whatever he could then before,
before
God comes burns everything up. So you get all the fun now before that time comes.
That's right. So, yeah, as I started growing older, that thought would still be there. Mm. And I was going to get what I could out of this life while I had it.
And what did that include? What were you planning to get?
Well, I did not want to be poor.
Okay.
And so I took my mom's advice about get a good job, be on time, and work hard. So when I came out of the Marine Corps, I did that. I got a good job. I worked hard. But I got back into using drugs and drinking again. My thing was is I didn't want to spend my whole paycheck on drugs. So I knew people that wanted it. So I just started selling it.
Uh-huh.
And so
you became an entrepreneur.
You could say so. I tried to, you know, do what was right with my life as far as what I thought was right. But I always judged myself according to those people around us. And later I would read in the Bible that those that do those things, that judge themselves among other people, are not very wise. And so I didn't think I was that bad of a person.
Most of us don't think we're that bad of a person.
Yes, but because we're not looking at the right place. And so I would continue working. I made good money at different jobs. I managed companies. I ran different projects and did very well financially. But I always had this different lifestyle going on, and I was selling drugs. I did this for about 20 years. And so I would finally come to a point in my life, I was tired of working, and I was just going to go into selling drugs full time.
Oh, my.
And just prior to this, a couple of years before this, I had met a young lady, and we partied together, and she got pregnant, and we had a little boy. His name's Travis. And, you know, some people think, well, having a little kid, you might be a little more responsible. Mm-hmm. Well, that really didn't change things much. So
you never got married?
No, we never got married. We were engaged, never got married. You know, dysfunction goes from one generation to another. Mm-hmm. Unless God's involved, it's just a vicious cycle that just never is broken. Unless Christ gets into the picture and he's able to work out those things in your life to bring about a change. So, you know, at the age of 35, a company I was working for, The owner of the company approached me, and he knew I was a drug dealer. He knew I used drugs, but I made a lot of money. And
because of the job.
The job I had. And this is one of the last companies I worked for. And he asked me if I would go to church with him. And I said, Danny, no, I'm not going to church with you guys. And he's a smart thinker. He says, how about if we take your son? And I said this to him, and I don't really know where the thought came from other than from God. I said, you know, Danny, if I ever do anything right with my life, because I knew I did, I was doing it wrong, but what hope did I have? I didn't know any other way. I said, I want my son to know who this Jesus is. Mm. Now, I heard about Christians. There was Christians that worked in the company I worked for, and they seemed to have a little different life and a little more, they had some peace about themselves. And so I figured if my son could know who this Jesus guy is, then his life could be better. Because I didn't want him to grow up and be a drug dealer and do the wicked things I was doing in life and stuff. So he went to church. He enjoyed himself, had a great time. And shortly after that, another couple approached me and asked me if I'd like to go to church with him. And I thought this to be a little odd because I used to sell him drugs.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, well, maybe they're trying to get their life together.
So you were selling them drugs, but now they're asking you to go to church.
Right.
So maybe they're not doing drugs anymore?
Well, they started drifting back away from me and trying to, I think, get their lives on the right track. So I thought to myself, you know, I don't like these women I keep meeting out here in the world.
Oh.
Maybe if I met a Christian woman, my life might be a little different.
You know, that's funny. I do think men think like that sometimes. They want a good wife and a good mother for their kids.
There you go.
Well, but this would be a great place to take a break, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So we're going to have to take a quick break, but stay tuned because we're going to hear more about Dennis and what happened with his son. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. JB here. Won't you help us? As Strong Tower Radio spread the news about God's true character, about His love and concern for the human race, about the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers. If you'd like to help spread the word through Strong Tower Radio, why not go to our secure website, that's www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button. There you'll find all the information you need to become a regular monthly giver or weekly giver to the cause of Jesus. If you're not an internet person, you can always call us at 231-468-2087 and just tell them that you want to help support God's cause through Strong Tower Radio. Thank you for listening to, praying for, and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is changing lives one listener at a time.
Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today with my co-host,
Tom Majeure.
And Tom, we have in the studio with us Dennis Page, who's an assistant pastor to the Village Seventh-day Adventist Church in Berrien Springs, and his wife, Melody Page. And we've been hearing a great story, testimony about Dennis, who was not always a Christian. And I understand because I came from a worldly background. Anyways, Dennis, we stopped where you had a son. And the guy you were working for, his name was Danny, and he invited you to church, but you didn't want to go. But being a good parent, which lots of parents are, we want better for our kids. He asked if he could take your son.
Yes. So my son's mother and I had split up, and I had been keeping him every other day. And so over the next couple of years, we really were bonding together, and it was neat to see him learning new things. And, you know, one day this employer approached me and asked me if he could take my son to church, or he asked me if I wanted to go to church. And I told him, no, Dan, I don't want to go to church. In my mindset, I knew that my life was going in one direction. I heard of about a place called hell, and I was hell bound. I heard about people going to heaven, but there was no way I was going to heaven because there was no hope for me. I was a wicked person, and I knew it, but I didn't know that there was any hope. How could I be anything other than I was? But I thought to myself, when he asked me if my son would go to church, if he could take my son to church, I told him yes. I said, because if I ever do anything right with my life, I want him to know who Jesus is. I knew I was doing it wrong. But I thought, you know what? If he had the opportunity at a young age to connect with this Jesus, there could be something better for him in life.
So you can almost break the cycle of
dysfunction.
Dysfunction.
That's right. And that was the burden in my heart. I wanted him to have a better life than I had. And, you know, this is the burden of many parents. They want their children to have a better life than what they've had. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I would learn later that better life could only come with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so I did not go. He took my son. My son really enjoyed it. 4 years old, he's clapping his hands. He really enjoyed church. And not long after that, another couple would approach me, Dave and Sheila. I had known them for about, maybe 10, 12 years. I worked with them at another company. And they asked me if I wanted to go to church with them. And, you know, the odd thing about that is I used to sell them drugs quite often. And now they weren't buying as frequently. I noticed that, you know, things were a little different with them. They had three children. And, you know, they probably were thinking at this age, we need to start rethinking how we're doing our family, how we're going to nurture our family. And so I thought, you know what, if I go to church and meet a Christian woman, my life might be a little better. You know, when you're out there in the party world and I was connected with these different women and they just are around for the money, for the party, for, you know, material things. And I was looking for something more in a relationship because when I was growing up, that's what I was missing. I didn't have a dad. My mother wasn't really close to us. And so I was missing that oneness that comes through a relationship. And so I went. And, you know, I didn't really pay attention to what the pastor was saying. I'm just looking around at the ladies, seeing if I could connect with somebody.
Because that was your motivation.
That was my motivation. That's right. But I felt like a hypocrite. And because I'm going home, I'm selling drugs, I'm hurting people, I'm doing bad things, and just living morally, it's just bad. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to corrupt these people if I stay here. So I stopped going. But I want to tell the listeners here, you know, you don't take a bath so that you can take a shower. It doesn't make sense. You know, so Jesus is the only one that can clean us up. We can't clean ourselves up and then go to church and expect him to clean us up. He's the one that does all the cleansing. And so if you're out there, you're struggling with different addictions, you're struggling with different character traits that just keep you bogged down in life, I want to encourage you, pray and ask God to lead you to a church and get to know Jesus in that church. And don't worry about what other people think or say. Don't worry about looking around and you notice the hypocrisy here and there. Don't let that deter you. You're there to encounter the living Christ.
And right, so, because how many times have we heard church is a hospital for sinners?
It
not
is a
the
hospital,
saints.
But it's also a place where not only you get healing, but you're empowered to do what is right. So it's a beautiful thing. Yes, it's a place for healing and restoration and transformation. So, you know, friends, go. Just keep going. Don't give up. But I gave up. And it wasn't long after that I quit my job and I just started selling drugs full time, got involved with a drug ring out of Mexico and started moving larger quantities. I would find out later that one of the people I had connected with in that organization was working either for the DEA or FBI. Yeah. I would find myself coming under investigation and a lot of crazy things started happening in my life. And at this time, you know, I had the nice house, I had the fancy cars, I had the money, I had the big parties, had the respect of people, I had lots of friends, but there was something inside that was missing. I couldn't put my finger on it, you know. It's like God has created this hole in our heart just for him. And we can try to put material things in there. We can try to put the sexual things in there. We can try to put, you know, philosophy in there and all these other isms we can try to put in there. And they just don't fit because God created that hole just for him. Unbeknown to me, I didn't realize that. But I had this yearning for something better. And one night, I got a phone call from a friend, and she asked me if I wanted to come down. She was house-sitting down the street for an accountant. So I went down and visited with her, and she began to tell me how, when she was younger, these spirits started visiting with her.
Oh, my.
And it would reveal things to her. And she said there were some present in the room and that wanted to communicate a message to me.
Wow, so you're going from bad to worse, huh?
It was going to get
know,
a little
you didn't
darker.
Know that.
No, I did not know that. It was about to get a lot darker before I'd see the light. And It's like this is what Satan does. He begins to he drags you into a situation and he begins to wrap that cord around you a little tighter, a little tighter, a little tighter, till that noose is just so tight you just can't breathe. And she started telling me about these things happening in her younger days, and she said there was somebody in the room that wanted to talk to me. And she began to describe the person. She said, "I don't have a name, but I'll tell you what they look like." And as she began to describe the person, I believed that to be my grandmother. Now, she had never seen a picture of my grandmother. I never talked to her about my grandmother. My grandmother had been dead for several years. And I thought, this is a marvelous thing. All right. So the thing she started telling me, my grandmother was saying, made sense. You know, you need to start paying more attention to your son. Watch out for the little kids. Be careful what you're doing. Okay, well, yeah, I'd probably need to do all these things. And so after that experience, I went home. And over the next several weeks, strange things began to happen in my home. Things were being moved. I'd hear noises and just weird stuff. And I'd call her up and I asked her, why is this stuff happening? And she says, they want to talk to you because they know you'll listen. And I said, all right. And so I began asking these spirits different questions, and it was as if they started showing me things. People were trying to slide Mark money in on me. People were trying to set me up, and they were revealing these things to me, and I thought I tapped into this supernatural power that was helping me elude law enforcement, but all along, unbeknown to me, Satan's tightening up that noose a little more, a little more. Well, as I said, I knew that we were being watched. I had some different devices that told me my phone was being tapped, and I had other things that I could track surveillance and all this stuff. So after a party one night, people went home, and I'm just broken inside, and I begin to write out my feelings on paper. And I didn't want to tell anybody what I was experiencing. I didn't trust anybody. But this one night, after we had a big gathering at the house and everybody went home, I was sitting there again thinking about life. You know, here I am, 36 years old. Is this all there is to life? I'm going to just keep partying and one day die? What is that it? And so I get out the piece of paper and I get my pen out and I get ready to write again. And I'd been up for days. I was a cocaine seller and methamphetamine dealer, and I'd been up for days. And the first words that come to my mind were, Jesus said. Now, up to that time, I'd never read the Bible. I just know the name Jesus. I don't know anything about him, let alone anything he said. But I'm just going to start writing everything that's coming to my mind. And this is what I write. Jesus said, "For I told you I would never be far away as I hear and feel your hearts cry out today." And the people say, "What must we do? Where should we pray? Where is it safe for our children to play? Our Savior, can you say?" Jesus says, "The answer has been placed in your heart from the very start. True faith will see you through." But the people cry out, "With all the evil in the world today, it is our faith we are to rely on." And Jesus says, "Yes, for the end days have now come. I'll test the faith in everyone." And then I say, but I realize it wasn't me. "Have no fear, for Jesus is here. Do you not feel him? Is it not clear? His spirit is everywhere."
So you're writing this down.
I'm just writing it out. So he tells me, "Have no fear, for Jesus is here. Put all your trust and faith in the Father and the Son, and they will guide you and protect you from the wicked one. And I would like you to live your lives with this in mind. Treat the person next to you as if that person was Jesus, and then and only then would this world be a better place for you and me and our family." Now, as I was finished writing that, as I finished up, I heard footsteps running through my hallway upstairs. Boom, 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 boom. All the way through the hallway. It made my heart about stop. Freaked me out. I knew it was one of these spirits. I never heard them run in my house like that. And it just shocked me. No need for me to go upstairs. I just knew it wasn't a person. At that moment, I caught a silhouette of a person standing off in the corner, just standing there, and then gone. And so then, that didn't bother me. So I'm getting ready to write something again, and I see something walk in front of me. Blurs my vision. I'm sitting at a couch, leaning over on a coffee table, getting ready to write again. It blurs my vision. And I feel somebody come around and sit right next to me. And I feel the couch go down. And I want to look, but all I hear is keep writing. Well, then I start writing this other thing. And this is all I remember of this. There was more to it, but this is all I remember. I started writing, it is we that write the pages of the Gospels each and every day with the deeds we do and the things we say. And that's all I remember about that. A moment or two passed, and I was able to look to my side, and nobody's there. And I went back, and I picked up that paper, and I began to read back to myself what I just shared with you. And I had this huge sense of peace. At this time in my life, I was so wicked, I didn't care if people lived or died. I was willing to have people murdered in my home. I was wicked. I was under investigation by the task force, the FBI, and there was a hit on my life. I was using such a large quantity of drugs, it was just a matter of time of overdosing. I was in the clutches of the enemy, I was involved in spiritualism, and my life was on a fast-paced direction towards destruction. And God is so amazing that before Satan would say, he is mine fully and completely, God would say, just a moment, let me shine some light into his mind and a drop of grace and see what choices he makes. I sensed the greatest amount of peace ever at that time in my life. And as I was reading through there, I did believe at that moment, that very moment, yes, there is a God and he is real. And he just paid me a visit. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you the joy that was flowing through my heart at that time. I was so overwhelmed. I had to tell somebody. You see, when Jesus comes into your life, when he empowers, impacts you, and you feel his presence, you got to tell somebody. And so I call up these people I was selling drugs to in another town. And I ask them if I can come over. It's about 3:00 in the morning. So I go to their home, and I began to tell them what Jesus said. I whip out the paper. Do you know what Jesus said? And this is all I know. I've never read the Bible. I'm not opening up a Bible. I'm just sharing what I wrote. And they're looking at me like, all right, dude, you're losing it. You need to get some sleep and think about what you're saying. You know, I don't remember.
They thought you were crazy.
They thought I was crazy. So I left their home. And on the way home, I started thinking about my life. I started thinking about the families that were broken because I was doing, the lives that were lost because I was doing. And it was clear this group of people over here would rather kill me than arrest me. This group over here, they would just soon have me dead. And it was bad. And I began to cry because I'm thinking, if God is real, then I have to give an account for what I've done. And I have no hope. And that just, it overwhelmed me. But God is merciful.
Amen.
God is merciful. And again, that sense of peace came upon me. And I went home, and I remembered those people I went to church with. They gave me a Bible. And I started looking for that Bible, and I found it, and I got it out, and I opened it up. And it was like I could hear the audible voice of God. And it just broke me down. I began to cry. The next day, I'd get up. And I'd call up my drug dealer, and I'd tell him, look, I need you to come over. I need to talk to you. He'd come over, and I'd told him the story.
You told him what had happened?
I told him what happened the night before. I said, look, I need to get out. And he says, don't worry, it's going to pass. And I said, no, this is not going to pass.
So he figured it's going to pass.
The conviction's going to go away, not to worry about it.
We'll be back.
I'd be back.
Which it would if you don't make a decision.
That's right.
That's why God touched you, and he does that to each one of us. But we have to make a decision.
That's right.
Okay, folks, we got to take another break. We're sorry. Isn't this interesting, Tom, to hear?
Absolutely. Can't wait to hear the rest of the story.
Tell us how God changed you. This is amazing. So, folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We often hear people use the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season around Christmas time. But consider the word whomsoever. That is you and me. Jesus was born in a lowly manger for you and me. He died on the cross, again, for you and for me. We are the reason for the season. He set aside heaven for us. His gift for you is eternal life with him. Will you accept it? This is David Bolduc, station manager for Strong Tower Radio, wishing you a truly Merry Christmas.
Hi, folks. I'm Jalene Fenner, and welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today with my co-host,
Tom Mazur.
And Tom, we have with us Dennis and Melody Page, and Dennis has been giving us a gripping story.
It has been.
He is the assistant pastor at the Village Seventh-day Adventist Church in Berrien Springs. And did you hear what I said, folks? He is a pastor, so if you've been listening to this, but you heard his life. He was not always a good boy. And that's life. That's what happens mm-hmm. to us. And
God takes us.
That's right.
Yeah, God takes us where we're at. And we've got to dispel that myth that you have to be good, you have to be perfect, you just have to be willing.
That's right. That's right.
And make
that's
the, a, and make thing. A choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can make a choice for God, or you can make a choice not for God, but it's your choice.
And God is all about choices.
Yes, and mm-hmm. grace and mercy. So tell us here, God has touched you, and you told your drug dealer, because that's right. what you were doing for a living, full-time now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you were
that's
doing,
right.
making money.
Yep, so it was time for me to exit. But that wasn't going to be very easy. And so over the next several months, I would still continue to buy and sell drugs. I'm reading the Bible every day. And I'll tell people, you got to start somewhere. You just got to start somewhere. And I'm reading the Bible every day. I'm under continued conviction. I continue to share with people what I'm discovering. And these are people that I've known for 20 years and been dealing with. And people start mocking me. People start ridiculing me. They're making fun of me. But you know what? I don't care. Because I have a new friend. His name is Jesus.
Well, you have this different peace in you that you didn't have before.
That's right. Although my life is quite hectic still and chaotic, it's crazy, but I have the sense of peace that God is with me. He's going to work this out. And what I did know, if I was going to get out of this mess, God was not only going to have to work one miracle, but many miracles. And so my mindset was, you know what, Lord, if I could just get out of the city, go out, move in the country, smoke a little marijuana, drink a little beer, and maybe write for you, then we can I'd be on a better path in life. You know, but I tell you what, God is amazing. He's so merciful when we think like that. He's not about just a little cleansing. He's about a total cleansing and a total transformation.
And he really does it. We just got to be willing to follow him.
That's right. That's right. And so that's where I was. I was willing. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. And so I was willing. And I'm glad the willing part comes first, because then he can work in you to will and do of his good pleasure, as it says in Philippians 2:13. So I came to a point where I just knew things had to change, and I was getting overwhelmed. And I came home from a club one night, and I was very drunk, and I just remember just crying out to God, God, I can't live like this anymore. I'd rather die than live like this. You know, I can tell you this, friends, when you come to the point where you take ownership of your life and just throw it at the feet of Jesus, you know, it says there in John 3:17, he did not come into the world to condemn us, but he came into the world to save us.
Amen.
And so God gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, John 3:16. So I cry out to God. I still don't understand who Jesus is and the role, even though I'm reading the Bible. Like I said, I've been doing drugs for almost 23, 24 years now. It's just not sinking in. But God is merciful. I like the story of Peter when he's sinking in water and he cries out to the Lord. The next word says, immediately the Lord stretched forth his hand. I cried out to God that night. Within 12 hours, I got my answer to prayer. Within 12 hours, I'd find myself, I was in a parking lot. I was approached by a Secret Service agent and a federal marshal, and they wanted to question me. They wanted me to get in the back of an SUV, and I told them, we can talk right here. And they said, no, you're going to get in the vehicle. And I said, no, I'm not. And he reached out to grab me, and I hit him. The other guy started fighting with me. We started all fighting together. Finally, they wrestled me down to the ground and handcuffed me.
They arrested you.
That was it. And they had indicted me for threatening to assassinate a federal agent. That was my charge, because I was on a phone conversation. That's a part of the long story. You read about it in a book. I'll tell you about my book in a little bit. And I was on my way to federal prison. That was deliverance for me. Mm-hmm. I remember when that cell door shut behind me, it was like a load of bricks fell off my back. I felt so relieved. Here, I'm losing everything I've ever worked for. Nice house, cars, many materialistic things. My son, I don't know what's going to happen. He's living with his mom now. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. But I just had this sense of peace and hope and purpose in life. I didn't understand where it was all going to go, But I knew when I cried out to God, He intervened. And so every day I'd pick up the Bible and I'd begin to read. I was looking at a long prison term, but again, God would intervene. I'd get less than 2 years, and I'd find myself coming out of prison, just filled with the Word of God. I continued to study. And what had happened was, while I was in prison, I was praying and I was asking, Lord, you've revealed these things to me. You teach me. I read a book called Left Behind. And as I finished up that book, I set it down. And I thought to myself, that's not the God I'm reading about in the Bible.
Amen.
And I flipped the book over. It says fiction. Of course, it's not the God I'm reading about in the Bible. It's a fairy tale. You know, these guys are making money off of people and they don't even think about reading the Bible themselves to discover what is truth. So I was praying one day and asking God for Him to guide and direct my life and what I was understanding. And I would find myself getting thrown into solitary confinement for about 3 weeks. And when I got put back in population, I got put in a cell block with a guy named Paul, and he was doing Amazing Facts Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
and he shared them with me one day. And as I was reading through it, I thought, man, this is amazing. This is the Bible. I can read this. I can trust this. And so I began to study that out. I would discover the different things about the state of the dead. I'd realize the spiritualism and things I was caught up in, and I was really talking to demons and not dead loved ones. And boy, my eyes were open. Friends, if there's a Bible study that you want to get involved in that will open your mind to beautiful Bible truths, amazingfacts.org, check it out. You won't be disappointed.
Amen.
And so that would lead me on to encounter people of the Seventh-day Adventist faith. And I was convicted about the Bible Sabbath, so I was searching for a Sabbath-keeping church. And so in the prison, I would find two people that were coming into the chapel on Saturdays. And one group was the Roman Catholic Church. Well, I already knew my mother was Roman Catholic. My grandmother was Roman Catholic. I was baptized Roman Catholic. I knew that wasn't the truth. There's a lot of God-fearing, loving people in that faith, but their teachings go contrary to Scripture. Not all of them, but quite a few of them. And so I did not want to be a part of what was not truth. And so I checked out the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I started going to their services, checking what they were saying with the Bible, and it all lined up. So I was baptized, became a member of that church. And so coming out of prison, I had a choice. I could go back to living where I lived and possibly get involved in the lifestyle I was in, or I could be homeless and live in a homeless shelter. Now, this is a humbling experience for me. I'm going from living in a nice, beautiful home, driving a Jag, having a lot of money, to being homeless. But I was homeless and I had peace. I had homeless and I had purpose. I was homeless and I had a place to go with Jesus.
Amen.
And so I stayed there for a year. God was rebuilding my life. I got involved in construction work. Now it was time to pray for a godly wife. I needed a godly woman in my life. And I was going to church, but I realized I was going there to discover Jesus, and He was going to have to pick for me. Uh-huh. I've always picked and messed things up. So I remember getting on a website, matchmakers.com, and I figured if I met a Christian woman, I could convert her over to my faith. And I remember one day I was reading through the Bible, my morning devotions, and I was reading about God telling Israel, don't marry into the heathen nations. Don't be unequally yoked, as it would tell us in the New Testament. So I was like, all right, Lord, I got down and I prayed. What do you want me to do? And the first thought came into my mind was Adventist singles. Now,
so like matchmaker of.
Yeah. So I never even heard of such a website. Got up, typed it in. There it was. All right, Lord, I'll try it out. So I signed up about a year and a half. I'll put a little disclaimer out there. You got to make sure God's guiding you, because I was meeting people that I just thought, this is not right. This is never going to work. So I'm about to get off the site. I'm done with it. And I come across Miss Melody Matutin. I see her profile. My heart leaps. I'm like, all right, now I got to be careful. She's a beautiful woman.
She's blushing over there right now.
I got to make sure a couple things. One, she loves God. She's after God's heart. She's willing to surrender and submit to Him, and she has to be able to sing. I cannot sing. So she has to be able to sing.
You know, isn't that funny, though? God wants us to ask him for things like
that. That's right.
And especially, I think, you know, when you're looking for a spouse, you have to, you know, just like a woman might want some tall, dark, handsome. There's nothing wrong with asking God for those things. So you ask for a woman that would sing. Melody, you have a beautiful name. I'm assuming you sing.
I sing a little bit, yes.
Oh, she's shy about it. She does sing. She's got a beautiful voice. God's gifted her greatly.
Now, so you found her first.
Well, yes. I saw her profile. I reached out to her, sent her one of those little smiley faces, and she responded. And we began to talk back and forth. She was living in England at the time. And I figured, you know what? I'm going to send her a copy of my book and my interview with Danny Shelton on 3ABN and just cut to the chase. If she'll read that, watch that interview, and she still wants to talk to me, then we can continue on. But I don't want to waste her time.
You weren't hiding anything.
Nothing at all. I'm going to put it all on the table. Let her decide.
So, Melody, I have a question. So you're on, you know, the Adventist Singles site. How long had you been on that site?
Yes, I was on that site. And let me just say this. I was on that site only because my dad told me to. Check it out.
Dad wanted you to get married.
Yes. Well, he was actually wanting me to make sure that I marry into faith.
Okay.
And so he said, this is solely for Seventh-day Adventists. But to answer your question, I was there not even a year, and I was about to take off my profile because—
You weren't finding.
I don't really like that. But anyway, I wasn't into that kind of thing. So, and then I had that communication from him.
Now, we learned that you guys are quite different. So explain what different is to our listeners.
Yes, we are different in terms of, by the grace of God, I was born and brought up in a godly Christian home. And my mom and dad was able to give me a picture of God's character. They're not perfect, but they were able to raise us up in a godly way. And they're very protective, actually, but they kept us on the narrow path. So that is, have not been able to do anything that is outside of the, you know, the will of God in terms of living
the worldly life,
morally and stuff like that. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was thankful for that.
So you respond how you got connected somehow with this dialogue. Tell us the rest of the story in a minute or two.
Yes, I will say this, that when he communicated to me and I began to understand what his upbringing was and where God has taken him from, and I just realized, I have to tell you this, it's not a walk in the park. You have to really pray to God to guide you in all yours, because ours was, I had to pray. We both had to pray, really, and make sure that this is what God wants us to. And not trust your feelings, but also prayerfully ask for a lot of signs and for answered prayers to make sure that this is where God wants us
to. So in some ways, to put it bluntly, you were dealing with damaged goods.
Yes, but you know what? This is what I understand. I am also damaged goods. Not maybe in the same way that he was. But we are all damaged by sin, and we all need a Savior. But we just came from different, you know, spheres, you could say. But God, I still need a Savior. I still need to be saved.
Amen. 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 So it was a beautiful thing. One of her secret prayer requests to God was, the man you have chosen for me to marry, let his first gift to me be a Bible. Well, you know, I didn't know that. And one day, as we're talking on the communicating on the internet, we went to phone conversations, and we're doing devotions in the morning and evening. We're connecting together.
Good way to build a relationship.
That's right. Christ-centered. And and so when trials come, you know Christ is at the center. You got to just submit to Christ. That's what keeps us together. And I thought to myself, you know, we're studying together. I want her to have the same study Bible that I have. So I asked her for her address, and she politely told me, don't show up at my door. I said, well, no, I won't just show up. You know, I said, I don't even have a passport right now. So I sent her the Bible and a teddy bear. So she gets the package, and she calls me, and she's like, why'd you send me a Bible? I told you I had 3 study Bibles. I said, well, you know, when we're doing devotions, I just want us to have the same commentary together so we can read through that.
I like that. Why'd you send me a Bible? Because you knew what you'd prayed about.
Yeah. Yes, but I was not giving it up away. So he'll be like, oh, I got her now because I'm the answer to the prayer.
You wanted to make sure it was God had answered your prayer and it was not just a happenstance or coincidence.
Yes. That's right.
So the Lord would go on and bring us together. We'd get married in the Philippines and then come back. She'd come back here to the U.S. We'd get involved in prison ministry. We worked with a ministry called Christmas Behind Bars for many years, and that was a wonderful experience. I would then pray to God and ask about going into ministry. I knew he had a calling on our lives, and I got involved. I was doing construction work, and then one day the call was very clear, go to Mission College. Mm. So I went to Mission College. My wife and I both did and studied under Pastor Louis Therese and for about a year and a half, and came out and got picked up by the Mission Conference. And, you know, I would just like to sum up a few things here before we go. Friends, no matter how dark your situation may be, you can open your heart to God as to a friend. When I was in solitary confinement, I opened my heart to God as to a friend. I realized that I could tell him anything. And as I read in 1 John 1:9, he said, if we confess our sins, if we take ownership, then he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins and to wash us clean from all unrighteousness. You know, this is about total transformation. And again, in Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounds, his grace will abound much more. And so when he convicts us of sin, he offers pardon and power. And along with that comes peace. And you know, each day is a new day. If you fall down, friends, get back up, keep on going. Remember, he's the one that cleanses. He's the one that transforms. That's the burden of God's heart, is to recreate in us his image and his likeness. Do not give up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. But as it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path.
So you talked about a book. You've written a book. So
yes.
We've just got a couple minutes here. If people want to get a hold of you, they can.
Okay, so you can reach me at my email address, ministryoftruth7@gmail.com. Again, that's ministryoftruth7@gmail.com. You can reach out to me at our church office at Village Church at 269-471-7795. Again, that's 269-471-7795.
So, Tom, this has been just a gripping story. And
yes.
Your book is the kind of book I like to read, about a testimony, how a changed life. And that's what Strong Tower Radio is all about, is helping people change their lives.
Amen.
So you have a book. What's the book called?
The name of the book is A Drop of Grace.
And if people want to get the book, can they go online?
No, I'll have some more books available, God willing, here in the next 60 days. They can reach me in my email
and send
me an email, and I'll let you know where I'm at on things. And then I can, you know, you can give me your information. And then when I have printed it out, I can get back with you and we can get
it. Why the title?
Why the title? Because that night when I sat in deep darkness, when Satan had his noose about my neck and he thought he had me, God said, I could almost think that God said to him, watch this. And while I was in that depth of darkness, a drop, that's all it took, was a drop of grace to enlighten my mind and turn my feet in a path of righteousness where he could restore my soul.
That's okay. So, folks, this has been, I think, a gripping story. Dennis Page, and you can get a hold of him through email, ministryoftruth7@gmail.com. And he is the assistant pastor at the Village Seventh-day Adventist Church in Berrien Springs. You can call the church, 269-471-7795, and they will get a hold of him. So I think you might want to talk to him, people, if you can identify with this life, because the devil is trying to destroy all of us, is what he tried to do to you.
That's right.
And a drop of grace you got.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Melody and Dennis. And we could have done another hour to hear more of your story.
Yes.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.
redeem fallen men. And with man's fall from grace, the gulf was too great to spare. Oh, but love, love built a bridge between
was gone. I was sad and alone. Was there no one to care? Then God in love reached down. I was lost, now I'm found. Happy day. Life's now worth